All right, welcome to the Free Stretch, week 5 edition of the show, short week edition of the show. I am Bobby Fenton, and we are set for primetime. The Bucks' first appearance in it will come Thursday night, and I'm actually recording this on a little bit of short notice, so you won't have much time to listen. I'm just going to keep it short today. Just wanted to do something with the short week to get ready for the Falcons game, especially because we did not get a show done last week, and I want to apologize for that. Now, first of all, I guess, because my circumstances were pretty okay overall, but you know, thoughts going out to everybody who dealt with, and in a lot of cases is still dealing with, the effects of Hurricane Helene, that while it did not directly hit the Bay Area, still had quite an impact with storm surge. I've lived here all my life. Like, you hear me talk about that all the time on the show, and these things have come through a million times, and some have come much closer than this one. And the water has never come close to the places it got to this time. And I have several people I know. If you live in the Bay Area, you probably do too. I'm fortunate that I'm not one of them. But several people that I know who had water come all the way into their houses and are dealing with all that. And it just seems like the worst. Like, you can deal with wind damage. You know, you can fix it even if a tree falls on your car or bangs up your roof a little bit. But when water comes into your house, like, it's the whole house and you can't just clean it up. Like, it's just a horrible thing to have to deal with. And a lot of people that live in places, you know, if you live like literally on the water, maybe you thought it was possible, but so many people where that's never even come close to being an issue before are dealing with that now. And so my thoughts go out to them. You know, we've done some things, you know, in my local Little League and a few other things, you know, trying to help out with just anything we can for people who are missing all these different types of things. But a lot of people lost their houses, their cars, and even if you have the means, like, even if you're fortunate enough to have the means to fix everything, and even if you have the right insurance, and even if you did everything right, you can't go home. Like, you have to leave your house for a year, and you have to get a new car, and you have to do all these things. It's just horrible. Like, never mind the people that actually had physical effects. I know there were a few deaths in the area. There were many more up in North Carolina and Georgia through Tennessee, all that. I mean, horrible stuff. We lost power for a day, which in the grand scheme of things isn't much. Plus, I had the kids home from school all week, so I just didn't get a show done last week to react to the Denver game and lead into the Philly game. And then with a Thursday show or a Thursday game this week, I almost said, well, let me just wait till after the Falcons game. And I said, you know what? Even though it's already Wednesday here, I just want to get something out there to you guys because I want to talk about some. There's some things I have to say that I haven't gotten to say yet. And even if the show is only good for a day or so, then we'll do another one after the Falcons game and get ready for what's coming up after that. But this is a big one, and it's a really good thing the Bucks did what they did against Philadelphia, a phenomenal effort. And in fact, let's go back another week, real quick. I'm not going to rehash everything that's happened, but let's go back to that Denver game and our show before the Denver game, because I've said this before many times, and I said it that day, the NFL is as much about situations as it is about teams. And I think that Denver game didn't even really have much to do with the Bucks or the Broncos. It had to do with a 2-0 team feeling really good about itself, coming off a huge emotional road win in Detroit, and in a big letdown spot, which is bad enough for the next week, but then you combine that with an 0-2 team. I know all the cliches, desperate, you know, wounded dog, blah, 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 but there's a lot of truth to it. So it was a bad recipe that day. That was a really good spot for Denver, and I don't bet against my own teams ever, but if I was somebody betting, I would have had a big, giant red circle around that game saying, take the points in this one, because this is a letdown spot for the favorite, and this is a hungry 0-2 team, and that's exactly what happened. And so I'm not excusing it, because honestly, even though I thought that was a good spot for Denver and a bad spot for the Bucks, it ended up being even worse than I thought. Like, that was a really pathetic effort, I thought. But not surprising. So the sky wasn't falling then. And the same reasons that was a bad spot for the Buccaneers 2 Sundays ago were the same reasons this was a pretty good spot for the Buccaneers this past Sunday against Philadelphia. I liked the Bucs coming off that loss against Denver. Philly, meanwhile, I really didn't want them to lose to the Saints the week before and be off 3 losses. But they got a big comeback, like emotional road win against the Saints. Then you got to go right back on the road again against a team coming off a bad loss. Again, situations. I thought that situation set up very well for the Bucks and not so well for the Eagles, and it played itself out again, where the Bucks looked like the team that was hungry, looked like the team that was coming off of a really poor effort, and the Eagles looked like a team that had spent a lot just to get the win the week before and then had to go out and do it again in that heat and everything else. And the Bucks, you know, outplayed the Eagles severely. Although, having your players helps too. Vita Vea back in the lineup, and he made a huge difference. And one of the worst parts about that Denver game, right, was just the absolutely anemic pass rush. The Bucks got pushed around and just basically beaten down after down up front on both sides, offensively and defensively. But if you watch some of the film from that Denver game and watch what passed for a pass rush, it was pathetic. I mean, it really was. Like, no team can win like that in the NFL. And what I like about the NFL, what I like about pro sports in general, I mean, and the higher levels you go to, this is true, but at the highest level, it's especially true. Nobody sucks in pro sports, okay? Like, oh, Denver sucks, they're 0-2, we're going to beat their ass. No. Nobody sucks in pro sports. And if you come out flat, or if you come out kind of haphazardly, not having your best day, and just kind of show up, you will get your ass handed to you by anybody, okay? Whether it's the Broncos, who are now 2-2, by the way, or whether it's whoever the worst team in the league is now, whatever you think that is. It could be the Dolphins or the Jags or somebody. I don't care who it is. It doesn't matter. If you come out flat, you're going to get your ass kicked. And that's the way it should be, by the way. And that's the beauty of pro sports. And it's true to a slightly lesser degree in college. And it's not even really true at all. You can, if you're better than somebody, you can probably come out in a high school game and still beat somebody that isn't as good as you. But at the highest levels, everybody's so good. The difference is even an 0-4 team and a 4-0 team aren't that big. You come out flat, you ain't going to get it done. And that was very predictable that happened to the Bucks, and it happened to the Eagles then the next week. So none of that surprised me. But having Vita Vea back, this is what I was getting to, having Vita Vea back made a big difference too. And the Buccaneers were able to come up with 6 sacks against Jalen Hurts. They were missing Lane Johnson on their end. That helped too. And a really good effort all the way around. Levante David looked phenomenal. It's good to see him not just hanging on and like, oh, this guy still finds a way to grind out like acceptable performances. No. He is at a top level right now. He was all over the field against Philadelphia on Sunday. Zion McCollum deserves some mention because here was a guy who came in and we're worried about replacing Carlton Davis and can this guy get it done? And he comes in. And he has gotten better and better and better every week. I know Philadelphia was missing a couple of receivers, which, again, that helps. But he played really well and has been playing well. Baker Mayfield, 30 for 47 for 347 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Had good pass protection. Actually, we ripped Justin's school, right? Let's give him some props. He's gotten a lot better, or got a lot better in that game against Philadelphia, whereas he looked really bad against Detroit, obviously, and didn't look great against Denver either. And he's going to need to be in there again on Thursday night because the injuries are not getting better for the Bucs. In fact, and you've probably seen this if you've been on Twitter and things like that, a little bit worrisome with Luke Getteke, who's going to miss his 4th consecutive game now with a concussion, has not cleared concussion protocol yet. Obviously, the short week doesn't help, and maybe if it was a Sunday game, it'd be different. But, you know, I don't want to speculate. A lot of people are speculating. You don't normally miss 4 games with a simple concussion, especially if you don't have a long history like Tua or somebody like that. But after that concussion in week 1, he is still out. There have been Ali Marpet comparisons thrown around where people are saying, oh, well, this happened in 2020 with Ali Marpet. He missed 3 games, and he came back eventually, but that was kind of what precipitated his retirement, his early retirement at age 28. We're not there yet with Getteke. Pump the brakes. But I'm not a neurologist or a concussion expert or anything like that. He hasn't cleared protocol, whether he is still showing symptoms or whether he had a... I don't know. I don't know all the things they look for. I don't know all the things that could have triggered another missed game. But he's out for this one, and he's not the only one. On defense, Kalijah Kancey, Todd Bowles said if it was a Sunday game instead of a Thursday game, he may be back, but he's still out, hasn't played yet this year. Antoine Winfield, not back yet, may not even be back against the Saints next week. Servasia Dennis, pretty bad shoulder injury from what they're saying, and he's gone on IR, so he's out at least 4 games. And that's just the defense. Back on offense, Jalen McMillan is out again with a hamstring, and Trey Palmer, which means the Bucs are having to scramble at receiver. But Sterling Shepard, hey, 3 catches for 51 yards against Philadelphia, and he played 50% of the snaps and looked good. I mean, look, that guy's a veteran guy, 8 years in the league, played with Eli Manning, with the Giants. Daniel Jones too, but has played in a lot of games and has done it at the high level that he showed the other day. And he's the number three guy now, at least for the time being, until McMillan gets back. And if he keeps playing well, who knows? He might even be three after McMillan gets back. But he did a really good job. So he bumps up to three. Cam Johnson's four. They'll get a guy, for the fifth receiver spot. Because Trey Palmer is also out with a concussion. So the Bucs are going to be shorthanded on a short week. Bijan Robinson for the Falcons is nursing a hamstring thing too. So, the Falcons will see if he's able to play for them and if he's really himself or not. But it's tough enough on Sundays with the injury situation the Bucs are in right now. A Thursday game makes it a little bit tougher, but it is what it is. So we're through four games. And through four games right now, obviously you'd like to be undefeated, but beyond or short of being undefeated, I think the Bucs are in as good of a spot as you could have hoped for, at least standings-wise. And I don't just mean the math of being 3-1, but even the one loss. If you told me to pick which team they'd lose to, I would have said the Broncos. Why? Simple tiebreakers. That's an AFC team. All the tiebreakers involve your NFC record, whether it's division record for division ties or whether it's your conference record for ties in the conference or if it's head-to-head, depending on, you don't know how all that's going to shape up. But we're only in week five here. Still looking ahead down the road. Bucks have three big wins against three teams who are all good. Like, the Commanders haven't lost since remember the Bucks week one were like, great win, but the Commanders are probably the worst team in the league. And they're just destroying everybody, especially offensively now. They're 3-1, haven't lost since the Bucks beat them. In fact, two of the Bucks' three wins have come against teams that are 3-1, and they're only losses to the Bucks, because the same thing is true against Detroit, who looked really good on Monday night beating Seattle, and even Philadelphia, who's fighting it a little bit right now. I don't think anybody's writing them off yet, especially in the NFC East where nobody... Do people think the Commanders are going to be like 11-6 now and win the division? I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe Jaden Daniels just keeps getting better. But my point is, the Bucs have three wins against three teams who all might be around in December, and so those could help with head-to-head tiebreakers. They're 3-0 in the NFC. Now we get to the division stuff. And these games are so big. I mean, if you go and look, at the end of the year, you'll have played six division games. I think reasonably, if you want to be in good shape, you always want to be 4-2 in those six games. Now, what combination of wins and loss? Who the hell knows? We don't know. We still don't know if Atlanta or New Orleans, I mean, they're not all three, but the Bucs, Atlanta, New Orleans aren't all going to be, neck and neck. Somebody will separate or one of those three will drop off and the other two, we don't know who that's going to be or how it's going to work yet. But these games are big games and the Bucs have several of them coming up if you look at the schedule, because being at Atlanta this Thursday night, then that gives way. I mean, here's the next six for the Bucs, which is another reason why the 3-1 start is so big. At Atlanta on Thursday night, we know that. Then at New Orleans, back-to-back road division games. Then Monday Night Football at home against the Ravens, who look like they're finding their stride. Then Atlanta again. They play Atlanta twice in 4 weeks. That one's at home. That's the orange uniform game. Then they go to Arrowhead on Monday night. Good luck. I'm not saying they can't win it, but good luck. Then San Francisco comes to town. That's the next six games leading into the bye. You're 3-1. And I'm not going to, I always say I'm not going to go game by game and say win-loss, win-loss. Just looking at those six games collectively, if you went 4-2 in those six, that would be out-freaking-standing. And even if you gave me 3-3 right now, you said, Bobby, you don't even have to play the games. I'll give you 3-3 in those games right now. Do you take it, yes or no? I would want to see if they could go 4-2, but I might regret it because they could go 2-4 or 1-5 in those six games, and you feel dumb. Like 3-3 is probably not terrible in that six-game stretch. That would leave them at 6-4 into the bye week. And again, the combination, I mean, who are you going to lose to? If you lose to Baltimore, that's an AFC game. That hurts the least. KC's the same thing. You really want to win two out of three of those three division games, Atlanta twice and New Orleans. Let's get two out of three of those. That starts Thursday night on TNF, which is... it's always a little bit different than Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football. Thursday Night Football always feels hurried, but I love it. I mean, as a fan, I love it. I know players have said things, and I know the league has tried to work with players and do their best to make it as, little of an inconvenience as possible. Playing a game on short rest is what it is. And listen, if I was a player, I'm not an NFL player, nor have I ever been, so I don't know. I mean, I know what their schedules are like, but I don't know what it's actually like to go through that. But there's got to be something to be said for the mini bye, right? Because when you play on Thursday, they give you the rest. Like, you're off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You come back next week, but you get a few days. So they probably like that, right? And, you know, the day-to-day life of an NFL player on non-game days, all I know is what high school football's like. I didn't like practice that much, and I love football. So if you told me we played a game three times a week, I would have taken that. Because then you do a light practice before game. So, hey, you don't have to do much, right? Between Sunday and Thursday, you do light t-shirt, you know, helmets and shirt jerseys type stuff. Then you get a mini bye week after that. It's probably not terrible, although it is a much more, you know, the actual games are much more physical than anything any normal person has ever gone through. But as a fan, I love it because it's the gateway to the weekend. I say that all the time. Like, you know, Monday, you still have Monday Night Football. Tuesday and Wednesday are tough days to get through. Okay, I don't care what, everybody's got different jobs. Everybody's got different schedules. To me, Tuesday and Wednesday, I don't care if you're unemployed or an ER doctor or a firefighter or a police officer where Mondays or weekends and weekdays are all the same, whatever. Tuesdays and Wednesdays suck. Worst 2 days of the week, especially during football season. Nothing. Then Thursday hits, you go, hey, Thursday night football tonight. And that it just takes you all the way through to the next Monday. Now, the baseball playoffs have been kind of fun. That started on Tuesday. So that fills up some time. It's why October and September, but especially October, best month of the year. And now you got hockey starting up too. But anyway, my point is, I like Thursday night football from a fan standpoint. When your team is playing in it, it's obviously even more fun. So have some people over. Use it as an excuse to get together with friends and things like that. I'm going to be having people over to one game day place over here. And we're going to have a good time with it. And then you get the mini bye. Then you got, I think we go back to normal this week with one Monday night game. Although the next time they play two Monday night games is when the Bucks host the Ravens. That will be one of two games. And I saw something on Twitter. I think it was on ProFootballTalk.com where it said fans don't like the two Monday night games. They want to go back to the one Monday night game. And they're not doing this every week. They're just messing around with it. It's been 2 weeks so far. I like it. I mean, to me, first of all, it stretches out the amount of football because now they don't start them at the same time, so they stagger. So there's like 4 hours of football. And again, maybe I need to get a life. But hey, if you can start me up at 7 instead of 8 and still keep me going until close to midnight, I think that's a good thing. Obviously, one game may be better than the others. You have options now. And you can still zero in on one game. I haven't had a problem with it. Never mind that. What's the all? I mean, here's my problem. The only problem I've ever had with the NFL and the way they televise games is that there's windows for all these national games, which are good, but there's more games than fit into all the windows. So, like, on Sunday at 1, you'll have, like, 9 games sometimes. And besides the one or maybe two that appear on your local affiliate, CBS and Fox, those other 6, 7 games just get buried. Like, unless you have red, some people have red zone. But even then, the more games you can put on TV in their own window, to me, the better. Because it's not like those games would have gone on somewhere else where you could have watched, and they just would have been buried on, I hate when the 1 o'clock slate has like 6, 7 games. When if you take a couple of those and have two Monday night games, sure. Or even though I also don't like on Sundays when it's imbalanced. Like I hate when there's 9 1 o'clock games or something like that, and then there's like 3 4 o'clock games. Like it doesn't have to just be West Coast teams. Put a few more East Coast games at 4. Like spread it out so they don't all get buried. Now, when it's my team playing, we'll talk about this when it's time, but when it's my team playing, like it will be with Bucks Ravens, then I want us to be the only one because I want everybody watching us. I want us to be the center of the football universe. So I don't want any other games going on. But when I'm somewhere else, then yes, I do like having two games. But for this week, it's back to normal, and it's Bucks at Falcons, Thursday night football. Falcons, for their part, if you look at what they've done this year, another thing, I mean, we're coming off a win, but they're also coming off a win. I like that they're coming off an emotional, like, last-second division win. That, to me, helps a little bit. I think if they had lost that game to New Orleans, it would not bode as well for the Bucs as if Atlanta had won, and Atlanta did win. And so, all four of their games, actually, have been real I mean, the first game against Pittsburgh, they lost 18-10 and really couldn't get anything going. But then they had that come back on a Monday night in Philly, which was a wild, like, cardiac job there. Same thing with Kansas City on Sunday night football last week, or the week before last, where they went down to the final possession, had the play in the end zone that they wanted the pass interference, but just came up short. Then another one where they get a last, or there was like 2 seconds left when Koo hit a bomb field goal to win 26-24. So I'm hoping maybe there's a little bit of letdownishness to that, perhaps is the word I'm looking for, and we'll see. But the Buccaneers coming off the win in Philly, I don't think that necessarily just having a win right behind you alone is enough for a letdown spot like the way it was when they played Detroit and got that win. I really am not surprised how the last two games unfolded for the Buccaneers. I don't have a feel for this one, though. I really don't. Like, I think this one, Atlanta is a 1.5-point favorite right now. I had a couple of, or I mean, might have moved. Let me see what the line is right now. But I had a couple of friends say, how can they be favorite? Hey, listen, first of all, who cares? Second of all, if you think you've got an edge, put the bet down. Third of all, I mean, it's a home line. It's anything where the home team's favored inside of a field goal. I think the Bucs are a little bit better than the Falcons. But again, there's not enough of a difference to be that different. And I feel like anything inside of 3 points is a fair line. And it doesn't matter anyway. So here we go. We'll have a little bit of time to clear our throat after Thursday night and get ready for that Saints game. It'd be really, really nice to be 4-1 and 4-0 in the NFC and 1-0 in the division with a win in Atlanta. And the Buccaneers have shown that they have guys who can step up and fill the roles of injured players, and they've done that. And I think, you know, listen, Vita Vea being back is huge. Love to have Kancey beside him. Hopefully that's the case. But I love what they've been able to do in the secondary. I love what Zion McCollum has done. Antoine Winfield being out, it's not perfect. But, you know, Jordan Whitehead back there has done a hell of a job as one half of the safety tandem. And Isaiah and Tyke Smith holding it down as well at safety. I like what Jamel Dean, you know, we were on him pretty good after the Denver game. He didn't have a great game there, but he's played pretty well and played really well against the Eagles on Sunday. And as long as you can get a pass rush, I say this, and I said it before, you know, in the season preview, before the first game. What they did on Sunday against Jalen Hurts, and not just the raw number of sacks, but just pressure in general. They had 6 sacks, all right? That's the way it's going to have to be. I don't care how good Baker Mayfield plays. I don't care how much of a connection he has with Chris Godwin or Mike Evans or whoever. The offense, I mean, they're going to have to do a good job too. But even if they do, I don't care what else, okay? It is always going to come back to pass rush. And if this team can get pressure on quarterbacks, they will win football games. And if they can't, they won't. And so that's the way, Sunday, maybe not, I mean, that was a really good effort, but it's going to have to be like that. Like, that's the way it's going to have to be, close to that all season long. And that goes for anybody in the NFL, honestly, but especially this Buccaneer team. So as we get set for Thursday night, I'll be back again. We get back on our normal schedule next week. Short week this week. Like I said, have a chance to, you know, call people in primetime. Your team plays in primetime so rarely, and I still remember, I go back to the 80s and 90s growing up as a Bucs fan, and these primetime games were so few and far between. They'd throw us a crumb. Never Monday night. But they'd throw us a Sunday night crumb every once in a while, and it was like one of the biggest nights of the year for little young Bobby Fenton in grade school. And, you know, they didn't even have Thursday night football back then. Now we got 4 this year, which is really cool. And this is one of them. This is the first one. So let's have a good time with it. It's a big division game. And these are the ones you look back on in December and you say, oh man, I wish we'd gotten that one. Or you say, "Ooh, it's a good thing we won that game." These are the ones. And it might seem like it'll be a long time ago. Come December, we'll look back and this will feel like forever ago. But it counts just as much. Bucks on the road in Atlanta. So in the meantime, if you're recovering from anything storm-related, again, our thoughts go out to you and wish you the best. If you're fortunate enough that you weren't affected, that's great. Either way, we got Buccaneer football to serve as a little bit of a distraction. Enjoy it. Have fun. Thanks to the Joes, joebucksfan.com, the single best place anywhere, TV, internet, radio, whatever, for Bucks coverage. It's all right there, constantly refreshed, always new content. Thanks to them for giving me this platform. Thanks to you for listening. Email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com or on Twitter @bobbygameday. I'll be back next week, hopefully talking about a 4-1 football team. But either way, until then, have a great weekend. Be safe, have fun, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.